Hi, I'm Jeannie Becker. Welcome to Beyond Style Matters. I've spent decades working in fashion's trenches, seen the best and the worst of human style, and had the opportunity to get up close and personal with some of the world's most intriguing characters. What I've learned about truly great style is that it goes far beyond what we wear. It's about the way we move through the world. On this episode, I speak with top model Stacey McKenzie. I've met countless top models in my day, but very few as memorable as Canada's Stacey McKenzie. The Jamaican-born dynamo is a poster girl for diversity, and her unique look and fierce attitude is emblematic of fashion's inherent theatricality. I remember being both shocked and delighted the first time I met Stacey. Her light complexion, galaxy of freckles, and full, fabulous lips were like nothing I'd ever seen on a conventional catwalk, and her deep voice, hearty laugh, and ultra-warm personality were the perfect antidote to the abundance of uber-cool and sometimes bitchy characters who populated the fashion scene back in the 90s. Stacey's unconventionality captured the hearts of some of the world's top designers, and she became a downright muse for greats like Jean-Paul Gaultier and Thierry Mugler. Stacey went on to defy the odds, starring in a number of campaigns, including a famous one for The Gap, a mainstream label that recognized the power of her iconic and unusual look. Intent on empowering others, Stacey started a successful coaching program for aspiring models called Walk This Way, designed to impart confidence on those who long to strut it. Her stints on Canada's Next Top Model and America's Next Top Model were also impressive. She showed aspiring young models what it took to make it in the business far beyond mere beauty. More recently, Stacey has wowed fans as a judge and mentor on Canada's Drag Race, helping to elevate the art of drag by providing invaluable insights about attitude and edge, two precious commodities that Stacey has in spades. Oh, Stacey, man, there's a lot of history there with you and I and what we have seen and those trenches that we toiled in and those runways that, well, you walked and I watched. Yeah, boy, oh boy, it's such a pleasure to see you and such a pleasure to see that your star continues to rise in a business that often has been known for eating its young. Mm-hmm. And you just keep getting better and better and better and doing more and more and more.
How's thank you, Jeannie. You? First of all, I want to say thank you so much. Like, coming from you, like, I mean, that's huge because you've made a big impact on my life, my career. And I'm just so, you know, blessed and excited because I would never think that this would ever happen like that. You know what I mean? Sure. It's definitely been a journey. Listen, I wouldn't take anything back, like even the downs, the ups and downs that I've had, like, you know, mold me into the woman I am today. I've learned a lot, you know, I've learned a lot of my journey and I've met a lot of amazing people and worked with a lot of amazing people, including you. Hello. Mm-hmm. So it's been awesome.
I'm trying to think of the very first time that I met you, because for some crazy reason, I think it might have been like backstage at a Fashion Cares. I'm talking early, early on. So
yeah, so I came onto Fashion Cares like in the late 90s. I would say it was right when my career just first started off, which started off in Paris. Yeah. But I think we met in Paris.
Well, though. Then maybe it was, and it probably would have been backstage at a Gaultier show. But I don't remember where we were, because all those backstages, in a way, ended up looking the same. You know, the hustle, right? The hustle, the craziness, the creativity. But I remember looking at you and thinking, wow, like this chick is a wow. She's memorable. Well, besides the fact that you're such a beautiful person, and I don't mean to, you know, grease you here or anything, but you, but you, you were so special, like, you know, in so many ways. And I looked at you and I thought, wow, like she's high fashion. She's, She's beyond fashion. She's got a look and Canadian. I mean, maybe not originally Canadian, but we claimed you as one of our own. And yes. It was just so exciting to have this Canadian and making it in the top international fashion circles and still a beautiful person and a nice person and an open-minded, open-hearted person. That to me counted so big. So I kind of fell in love with you the first time I looked at you and the first time I felt your energy. So something to be said for that.
Thank you so much, Jeannie.
You know, you make it sound like, I sort of got to, I don't know, who sent you to Paris? I take it was your agent.
Nobody sent me to Paris. No.
Okay, so tell me how you got to Paris.
I took the bus over to Paris from the Netherlands, and I had my list of all the agencies that I usually like walk with. Like, I would make a list of all the agencies, and I would cold call them to make appointments, pretend to be whoever from representing myself. That's how I got started in Paris. I went to see all the agencies. They all said no.
Someone tells you you don't have the right look. You don't. How does that not kill your spirit? How does that not squash your dreams for a young girl that had so much hope, that was so determined to make it? How do you rise up above that and say, too bad, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on doing it.
You know, it was faith. I had a lot of faith in myself because from when I was younger and from it came to me, for me to be a model, it just clicked. And something was always within my spirit telling me, this is where you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to do. This is your career. Even though I was getting a lot of no's, it was definitely very, it deterred me a lot in a way. But my faith and my belief that I was meant to be in the business, I would always speak to God and be like, God, if this is for me, show me this is for me. If it's not for me, show me it's not for me. And I would literally get a sign that shows me that this is for me. So that kept me going. And, just kept me motivated because I knew I was on the right path by when I was getting these, spiritual intuitions. It was just always there within me, right? Just telling me that this is where you need to go. This is what, whenever something is not right for me, it would show that's not where you should do. So that kept me going.
So explain the passion for me, because the kind of passion that you have to make it to the degree that you've made it in this business has to be beyond all else. I mean, even for me, it's like I went to New York when I was 19 years old. I wanted to be an actress no matter what. And I knew in my heart of hearts that I wanted to do that more than anything else in the world. And I knew that that's the mindset I had to have no matter what. I want to make it. I just want to be on stage. I want to be out there. I want to be in the spotlight. Where did that passion originate for you? Where did that come from?
From I found out about modeling, especially when I got to Canada. I just felt like I just knew it. I just felt it within my spirit. This is me. And it just felt so good. And then when watching you on fashion television, going through the magazines, I still get excited to this day. I really don't want those magazines to go out of play. I can't take the digital thing. I want to hold a fashion magazine, go through the pages, rip out the pages and be inspired. I just really love the industry. And watching fashion television and also another one, Fashion File. But you, fashion television was the one for me. Just really instilled it even more man, I just love this business. I want to be a part of this business. I can see myself in it. It wasn't more so for me to to become famous or anything like that. That wasn't my goal. I just really loved the industry and I wanted to be a part of it. I love the craft, right? I wanted to walk the runway. I wanted to be in the magazines, right? I wanted to work with the designers, with other models, with the makeup artists, mm-hmm. with the stylists. I wanted to get dressed up and play different characters. Yeah. It was just more so that about me. I wasn't even, how long it took me, Jeannie, even just to think about, making money, treating it as a business. In the beginning, I wasn't treating it as a business. I was just I'm in heaven. I'm just having a ball, getting dressed up and looking cute, walking the runway and showing off clothes. I wanted to learn more.
Because earlier you were saying the craft. You mentioned something about, the craft. You love the craft of it all. For you, Stacey, without question in my mind, and I've met them all. I know them all.
Yes, you have.
You are an artist. I mean, it's the art and the craft. And I really have always thought of you as a performance artist. I mean, yes, you're a model. Okay. And that model could, there are a million, ten guys and girls that are models, but you were an artist and really saw it that way. I guess maybe that's what fed your passion, the art within you. Not so, There used to be a saying that a very famous old Russian director named Stanislavski, you may have heard of him, you know, the Stanislavski method, Konstantin Stanislavski, once said, love the art within yourself, not yourself within the art. And I think that really rings true for you. And what, yes, you saw that world and you wanted to be part of it, but it was because there was something inside you that was so burning to get out there. Now the artist, you saw the world through the lens of an artist.
Of an artist.
And that's what you continue now to inspire so many with all the young models that you've mentored through your workshops, Walk This Way.
Yeah. Yes.
That's so wonderful. We'll talk about that in a minute too. With the judging role that you played on Canada's Next Top Model, certainly right. America's Next Top Model, and now yes. with Canada's Drag Race, I mean, you're really mentoring a whole generation of people that, that want a part of that business, that want a part of that glamour, especially with the modeling world. What would you say the business has changed into now for these young models? And you meet so many of these young models that want a part of it, that want to, you know, recreate maybe or even just live the times that we had such a great time living. What do you say to them? Do you feel that the business has changed so much that it will never be the way it was? Or do you like to encourage them to get out there and try it?
There's so much more diversity in the business, like when it comes to models, so much more diversity. I mean, when I first started out and for a long time, you didn't see that many. And you could agree too, right, Jeannie?
Absolutely.
You did not see, it was always the same cookie cutter. You know, you got to be, if you want to do high fashion, you had to be like at least minimum 5'9" and like, you know, weigh, you know, 50 pounds, you know, and all that stuff, you know, and have a certain type of look. Nowadays, it's like, you know, there's all different types of body types, different types of genders, just a whole different mix of, you know, genre of models that, you know, the doors is open more now. So what I would say is, I think in our time, especially for a while when, you know, I was, you know, like really out there doing the business, doing the modeling, we treated it more as a business. I notice now it's like a lot of the models, especially the ones I've met and I've worked with, they want to more so be seen and like, you know, be famous. And it's like, I keep telling them, you can't go into it for that. You know what I'm saying? You're like, you know, you really have to, yes, you want to be, you know, good at what you do and be successful at it. And if you become known, great. But don't make that be the priority where you want to be famous. I would encourage the new generation of models to like, you know, if they have the opportunity to be in the business, to just really treat it as a business, you know, try to make as much money as you can as possible. And like, and while you're in the business as well, do other things, invest in other careers as well. Don't like focus on giving your all to modeling because it's a very short-lived industry. You never know when you'll be in or out. You know, always be 10 steps ahead by knowing that this is a short-lived industry and, you know, it's fun and all, but treat it first and foremost as a business.
The question of diversity, though, which you brought up, and you say now it's much better, you know, much more diversity. Yeah, you're right. There were seasons and seasons of shows that we would see with these cookie cutter girls that were like, whoa. And there were always great diverse models around. They just may not have been getting, you know, as much work as they should have been getting.
Right, right.
But now you say the gates have opened up a little bit more.
Oh, yeah,
or
big time.
And you do think, so you don't, we used to talk a lot about racism in the fashion business. Like we did stories on it in fashion television. I remember asking Liz Tilberis once, you know, the late great editor of Harper's yes. Bazaar, you know, why don't you put more black girls on the cover? And she actually said to me, well, you know, we love those black models and there's some really great ones, but when we put a black girl on the cover of the magazine, we found we don't sell as many copies. Which is
They love saying that. They say that
crazy.
A lot. Yeah.
Ridiculous, but you know, it was like, what do you say to that? I mean, but now you feel that it really, the consciousness in the business really has been heightened, really has changed.
I think it has a lot. I mean, nowadays when you look into, even before the whole, you know, madness started with, you know, the uproar of, you know, having more of our people of color on, you know, in magazines or on the workforce, you know, like all that stuff, even before that started, when it comes to fashion, when it comes to the models, I would open up magazines now and see like a lot of Black girls, Asian girls, like in not just editorials, but advertorials, which is very important because advertorials is how we make our money. That's how we get like paid. That's how we're able to live and to survive, right? By making, you know, getting, being the face of a brand. So it's really, you know, for the past, like I would say about 2 or 3 years, I've been seeing a constant models of color, right? In like, you know, Fendi ads, right? Gucci ads, Stella McCartney. Like, it's just really amazing. Like, I would not see, you might see one token woman of color, girl of color, you know, in an ad like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then editorials. I remember when I get editorials, they'll just give me one page, right? Now it's like, I open up Elle magazine, you know, even Vogue, I was surprised very much. Opening the Vogue, I see like, you know, a 10-page spread. And it's just a full-on Black girl, like from Sudan, Sudanese Black girl, like 10-page spread. Like, it's unheard of. So I do think that there's a big change. I think that there's been a dramatic change. My thing is, I just hope, and I keep looking and watching, I hope and pray it's not a trend. You know, I just hope it's not, you know, for, you know, a couple seasons or so. It doesn't seem like it because it's been going on for a couple of years now. But I just hope that continues. And I also hope that we get like, women of color and, you know, like just all different types of body, you know, types as well. You know, like we get covers of magazines, right? And, you know, like, yes, the Vogue and the Harper's Bazaar, and not on the August issue where they claim that, oh, because that's usually, they love to give a Black girl the cover on the August issue cover, because apparently that's like the least selling month. Oh, yes. It's insane. I was told that numerous times, so that's why I could say that. So, you know, I would love to see, you know, more diversity even as well too on the covers. But I hope it's a constant, it just keeps going. It's not a trend. Yeah.
No, I know, but we saw that people kind of, you know, doing the token thing, you know, years back when Franca Sozzani did that fabulous Italian Vogue magazine that was the all Black issue. I mean, that was great. It was like,
yeah, that was dope. Yeah.
Commercial, but it's exciting. And we thought, okay, this is, and then it just sort of fizzled back again. It was just
one. It was just so like that one time. Yeah.
That bothered me.
You know, but it's so far it doesn't seem like that's the case though. Like from
no,
what I'm getting,
it's, but. Now tell me how you managed to have a thick skin, yet which I firmly believe you have to have in this business to some degree, because you just, you know, you're facing that kind of rejection possibility every day you go out for a gig.
Yeah.
But yet you still maintain a real sensitivity. Like, I mean, I know you personally, I could say that. And I'm one of the many reasons that we love you. You're sensitive. And I think you have to be sensitive in order to be good at what you do, in order to be a communicator, and order to have, you know, in order to resonate with people. Yet, how do you manage to walk that line, Stacey, by being tough enough to live through the rejection and the BS, and yet sensitive enough to still remain the artiste that you are?
I will say this, for a while at the beginning of my career, it wasn't easy. I mean, there was a lot of tears, a lot of crying, coming home, even not even just coming home. I would just walk out of a casting and I'm bursting out in tears. Or an appointment, not even a casting, an appointment, even just, you know, and I'm in tears and my heart's like broken. Because, yes, I am a very sensitive person. I'm, you know, quite emotional. I do take things to heart. And it used to really get to me. What helped me a lot was prayer. Prayer helped me a lot. What I started learning was and realizing was as well too that not everybody's going to like me. Not everybody's going to get me. Not everybody's going to love me. You know, I expected to just like walk up in there and everybody's like, oh my gosh, when I was younger. But then I realized, no, not everybody's going to get it. So it's okay if they don't get it, right? It's all right. As long as that one person gets it and gives me a chance, that's all that matters. But prayer helped me a lot. Sometimes, you know, like even with my family.
It's okay.
It was really hard for me too, Jeannie, because I was alone. I didn't have that support. You know, there's moments that I felt bad, but that was the least. The most, for me, was being alone. Like, I felt like I was alone, like, on my journey, which I was. The kind of support that I would have wanted, I never got. So I prayed a lot, you know. I asked God to give me the strength. If it's meant for me, He was showing me that it's meant for me. You know, that kept me going. But I always kept in, you know, in the forefront of, like, wanting to please please the people that really meant the most to me and make them happy. People are going to like you, love you, and hate you no matter what.
Oh, true.
So it was difficult, no?
Was there ever a time when you thought maybe you would just give up, pack it in? Like, you know, this is the end. I can't go any further. I can't push myself anymore.
Yes. When I was in Paris, when I first got to Paris and I got signed to the smaller agency, not signed, but they gave me a chance to be with them at the smaller agency. It was like a trial. And right before he gave me the chance, like that was the last agency I was seeing. And his name is Gaspar. And I was sitting in front of Gaspar and he was like, you know, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I want to be a model. What do you think? And he was like, okay. And then I said to him, listen, I only have like about $25 in my pocket. Listen, this is the last agency I'm seeing. If this is not, you know, if you're not taking me on, I'm out. I'm going to go back to Canada and just, you know, like open up a clothing store or something. And he was like, okay, you got a lot of mouth. Because I said it very, like, you know, very strong and confident. Like, he said to me, you know what, I'll give you a chance. I'm going to send you one appointment and let's see what happens from there. And that's when he sent me to the Gautier appointment.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. What a moment.
And that's
oh,
when I
you're
knew.
Kidding.
Yeah, and that's
and
when I knew.
If it, oh, and Jean-Paul saved your life.
How I found out about the world of modeling, I was looking for In-Flight magazine. My sister came to visit when I was living in Jamaica. And she brought an In-Flight magazine, and I was just skimming through it, and I saw a picture of Gautier and Madonna. That was the first time I found out about the world of fashion and modeling. And then when I got to Canada now, I started delving into it more via, yeah, you know, fashion television. So when that happened, because I was ready to give up, like that was my last agency that I was going to see, mm-hmm, and I was ready to go back on my return ticket back to Canada. And he said that. He didn't tell me that I was going to go to see Gautier. He just gave me the address and the name. And when I walked out, I saw the name. I was like, what? And Jeannie, I missed the casting. I couldn't find the place. Yes. Oh. I missed the casting. And I was like, okay, this is it. I guess this is not meant for me. And while I was outside crying because I missed the casting, I'm like, okay, I guess this is not, you know, this is it. It's not meant for me. This lady comes running to me and she's like, Issy, and she's giving me her business card. And I was, you know, she just says, come here tomorrow at 3:30. I'll never forget. And she ran off. And I looked at the card and she was the assistant to Jean-Paul Gaultier. And it was the same address I was supposed to be at for that casting that day. So when she ran off, I ran after her. And when I stopped her, when I got her, I was like, where is this address? Because this is what I was supposed to be at today. She was right there. And she points right directly across the street from where I was crying. And she said, she just so happened to look out the window and saw me pacing back and forth. And she goes, that's a very strange looking girl. I think Jean-Paul would love her. And that's why she ran out and gave me. So when that happened, but I was ready to give up. I was ready to give it in from seeing the agency. I was ready to give it. That was like my last try. So I was ready to walk away from it. But I'll tell you, after that, I've had a lot more like trials and challenges, mm-hmm, and tribulations, a lot. There's times when I couldn't find food to eat. There's times when I'm jumping turnstiles and I'm eating just a baguette and drinking a bottle of water. And I don't, you know, and I'll come home and just eat pasta with a soup bouillon. That was my dinner. That was our dinner because I was with someone at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was just really, really tough. But because that happened to me, where it led me to Gaultier, it showed me that I was on the right path and it was meant for me to be in this business. And that's why, you know, I was able to just, you know, really just like stick it through because I knew I was on the right path and that's where I belong. As career-wise, that's where I belong.
What did you learn from Jean-Paul Gaultier?
What I learned from Jean-Paul Gaultier is that I just need to be myself and be the different looking Stacey that I am, have fun with who I am. He was the one when I walked that first show of his with Madonna, I just happened to see Lenny Kravitz in the audience and I walked off the runway. You were there. I don't know if you remember, but I walked off the runway and sat in Lenny Kravitz's lap. Yeah, and I thought Gaultier, you remember? And I thought Gaultier was going to fire me. So when I got backstage, I was
so
freaking
awesome.
Out and he was and I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to fire me. And he comes up to me and he goes, what is it? Qu'est-ce que c'est ça? What was that? What was that? But he looked like he was angry with me. And I was like, I'm so sorry, Gaultier. Mr. Gaultier, I didn't mean to. I just saw Lenny and I'm a big fan of his and he's my favorite, one of my favorite singers. And I couldn't help myself. And he burst out laughing and he's like, do that. And I was like, what? And he's like, continue to do that. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, that's, he's like, it's like, you have a cool look, but your personality is going to even make you get further with that look. He's like, so you need to continue to do that. And that's where I get this thing where, I mean, I'm very theatrical on the runway. Like an artist, like you say, I'm very theatrical on the runway. I have fun. I'm not your typical model where I just walk straight down on the runway, you know, and just do a turn and walk back. You know, I'm more comical. I'm more fun, right? Theatrical. He was the one that taught me to, you know, like own that and do that and make that be a part of my craft as a model. Because that's what's going to sell me. He was the one that taught me that.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Wow, what a lesson from such a master too.
Yes.
Such a beautiful person. I'm such a huge fan of Gautier. But you've really been wowing audiences with wonderful presence on Canada's Drag Race. And it's just delightful to see you in that context because you are, for everything you stand for, such an inspiration to those artists, drag queens are some of the greatest, most courageous artists I've met.
Right.
What are you hoping to instill in them? What are you, even, you know, doing a series of that nature, what do you believe your higher purpose is in doing a show like that?
Instill the confidence within them, you know, to be like confident about themselves and know their craft, right? Be, you know, and just not try to be anything but them, but who they are. That's what I like to instill. That's what my aim is. Just be you and just like love you, own you, and do you, right? And whatever it is that you want to do in life, do, you know, make sure that you learn everything about it and be always ahead, right? Learn even more. Come to own it.
What a feel-good thing. What a joy and an honor, a privilege, a blessing to be able to do something like that. With that community, especially, that have suffered so much. So many of those queens have suffered so freaking much.
Yeah,
and continue to.
Yeah.
Now, you and I had that wonderful time, or maybe not so wonderful as far as I was concerned, actually. In retrospect, it was a kind of depressing time on Canada's Next Top Model. And it was depressing for me, personally, because I felt that I was squashing a lot of dreams of a lot of young girls. I'll never forget, there was one show, I don't know if this was a season that we were working on it together. There was this really beautiful black girl. I've forgotten her name now. And she, you know, it was one of those things where they line up in front of the judges and you say,
Tanika?
Okay, sorry, you're not coming back. And she fell to her knees. Could it have been Tanika now that reacted that way? Because Tanika now, I mean, is out there as a working model and she's fabulous and I love seeing her, but we had to reject her for whatever stupid criteria it was. I mean, the reasons were, and she fell to her knees sobbing, and it was my birthday, and I thought, fuck, I don't want to spend my birthday like, you know, this was so bad. I thought, I want to be in this business to empower people and to really make them feel good about themselves. But you know, when you're a judge, you have to, you know, it's like Shantae stay or sashay away, like what you have to do sometimes. And this young girl took it so badly. I just thought, oh, this is like such a horrible feeling for me. I mean, what memories do you take away from your judging duties on a show of that nature?
For me, when I first did Canada's Next Top Model, I mean, that was my first ever judging opportunity. It was very tough. It was similar to you as well. It was very, very tough because I know what it feels like to be on that end and to have people tell me I'm not good enough. But what I've learned was, you know, what I've learned from being a judge as well too is that, you know what, it's okay for us. First of all, we're chosen to give our critiques and advice and help them, you know, better their craft and better themselves and help them along their journey. So we have to be honest. We have to be, you know, I'm not into the playing games of like, you know, the person, if we know for a fact that the person is not going to, you know, make it within the industry like that, right? Or if it's going to be too much for them or whatever, like, you know, just tell them straight up, tell them, right? Because you need to prepare them. Like they need to be prepared for what it is that they're going for. So for me, it was really difficult to judge, but at the same time, it was like, no, you need to also know though, the good, the bad, and the ugly of this business, of this competition, of this business. You want to win this competition, you got to make sure that you come with your A++++ game. Mm-hmm. You want to be a part of this industry, you have to make sure you're, you know, 20 steps ahead. So I had to suck it up at times and just, like, you know, be a little tough to let them know. But really, it was really hard for me and heart-wrenching for me, because I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. I was one of those girls, and I know what it feels like, right? And if you don't have a thing, if you're not able to, like, handle it, you could really just crumble, like how that poor girl crumbled.
Yeah.
But you were being honest, though. I mean, you're Jeannie Becker. you're chosen to be a judge because you're Jeannie Becker. I was chosen to be a judge because I am who I am in the industry as well. Paul Venois was chosen to be a judge as well because, you know, of who he is in this industry. He knows. He's you know, we're experts. So we just have to, but it's tough at times. It is tough at times. Mm-hmm. And it's still tough for me to this day to judge. I got to do it. I got to do it. And I have to be honest. I make sure that I'm honest with it.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever critiques I give, whatever advices that I give, right? I'm giving you the real deal. I'm not sugarcoating nothing. If you were amazing, you're amazing. If you suck, you suck. You know what I mean? And this is how it could help, like, being amazing for the next, if you're back for round, you know, for the next round.
Yeah.
Right? This is how it could help to be amazing.
And that's all the same for the drag race too.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah. The way you're dealing with those drag queens. I mean, it is, you got to toughen them up, and the ones that just don't have what it takes to make it.
Yeah, you have to, like, let them know, and, like, you know, and hopefully they still get the opportunity to be around for the next round. They'll come and bring it, like, bring their A game. And it's like, they really take the critiques.
Yeah.
Right. So.
You are such a great director too. I mean, I don't know, maybe one day after the world of modeling, seriously, I see you connect with these queens and or anybody really. I mean, because you've taught legions of young women how to walk this way. And you can just say one thing to them and they listen to you, they follow it, you connect with them, you know what they're doing wrong, you understand how to get them to do what you need to do. How do you know that? How do you feel that? You just put yourself in their shoes, I guess, in their stilettos.
I like to work with the person. Not everybody gets the same exact tips, pretty much. I love so much for modeling, for fashion, for runway, for photo posing, for pictures. I have a love for it. So I think because of that too, it's like I really do pay attention to everyone and their qualities, you know, what they need to work on, what they need to fix.
Yeah. Hone in on what makes them special. Yeah. No, it's wonderful to be able to do that. But it's because you're a spiritually realized person, I think. I mean, yeah, you've done a lot of work. I don't know, I say work on yourself, work with yourself. I mean, I know these kinds of realizations just don't come to people like that.
No, it comes
from a lot of suffering and soul searching and the lonely days and nights that you spent, the years. Your folks and your family must be crazy proud of you.
I don't know.
Don't they tell you?
My nieces tell me.
So the younger generation tells you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The older ones maybe just don't get it then.
Some of my family, they're proud of me. But who I would love to be proud of me, it's not the case like that. And I wish it was.
Right? God almighty.
I have very, you know, very close friends who are proud of me as well. My husband was proud of me. So that means a lot. But when it comes to family, I mean, yes, there's some that's proud and yeah.
Family's weird. Family's weird to figure out sometimes.
Do you have that too, Jeannie? Or no? Yep. Your family's proud of you.
Yeah, I hope so. I guess
they don't talk.
My parents were very proud of me. My parents are no longer. They were my biggest cheerleaders.
Aww.
My girls, I think, are proud of me, but I don't envy them for having to sometimes, you know, live in live in my world or live beside my world or you know, because I want them to think of me as mum, but you know, all of a sudden I'm mum with a whole other layer of I don't know how much they always welcome
that. You're the mom.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. And again, it's you just want to inspire people, right? You just want to inspire your kids. You want to inspire your family, you know, your sisters and your brothers. But you've inspired a whole industry, Stacey, and you continue to with what you do. Legions of young people that have, you know, grown up watching you strut your stuff or even people in the same generation as you that have worked alongside you, that have seen you make it despite the odds, that have really been empowered by your positive thinking and your open heart and your kindness and your generosity of spirit. So I thank you for that. What do you want to be when you grow up now?
What I want to be.
Not that you should ever totally grow up. But what are you looking at doing down the road? Or do you think that far? Are you just like loving what you're doing now because you're so crazy busy?
I want to spend a lot more time working with my girls in my camp. My The Walk camp, that has just been a huge blessing to be able to, you know, go back into my communities, certain communities I came from, as well as other communities like that community, those communities. And, you know, be able to like, you know, get a group of girls and give them a free day camp, teaching them, you know, how to love themselves, teaching them, you know, different career, you know, goals that they could aim for. You know, I love that. And it's, mm-hmm. and I know that I'm going to continue with that even more because I want to take it all across the Caribbean, all across Canada, Africa. I want to take it everywhere because it's it's very needed. Because I know, you know, Jeannie, when I first started out, I didn't have that mentorship. I didn't have anyone to mentor me. And it's not a model thing. It's just having that, you know, mentorship and that guidance. So that's why I created the camp as well. Because, you know, coming from a certain neighborhood and being a, you know, a young Black girl, you know, I know what it feels like. And there's a lot of our girls out there, you know, girls of color, just girls in general, that, you know, would love to have that would really need that mentorship and guidance. So yeah. I know for me, like future, I've already started, but it's going to continue to grow. Yeah. I'm going to be spending a lot of time with working with young girls more and more and more, and given my time and giving time back to those youths more and more and more. Big goal.
Well, you've certainly taken the notion of modeling to a much higher place than many of us ever thought it could go. And you're a wonderful mistress of reinvention because you just keep coming at us with new and exciting and quirky and unexpected things. And thank you for all your light and keeping us entertained and inspired.
I want to thank you again for always being a big support. And, you know, I just really appreciate it. And I thank you so much for, you know, never giving up on me. There's times when I wasn't working like that. I wasn't getting the big gigs. I wasn't the it girl. And you still would take the time out and, you know, reach out to me and come give me a hug and be like, I'm so proud of you and keep doing you. And thank you so much for your contribution as well. Fashion, I mean, 99% I've learned from you. Thank you for everything, Jeannie.
Oh, I just love you to bits, Stacey. Thank you, darling.
Thanks for listening. You can catch me Thursday evenings on TSC's Style Matters, and new episodes of Beyond Style Matters will be coming at you each and every week. Till next time, I'm Jeannie Becker.